Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 5 of E4 2026. I'm Tommy. Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man?
Too many games!
Too many games is the truth. We're barely scratching the surface. So quick overview of what we're doing today. We are going to talk about the PC game show, which of course we are far, far behind on, and we will just continue to be far behind on all of these, but we're catching up. But there's also been news that has happened in the last week or so that is worth talking about, including updates about Xbox and price for the Steam machine and a price for Grand Theft Auto 6. Like, all things we have been speculating for a while. So we're going to talk about those things, too. It kind of breaks the routine of E4, but it's important. We're going to talk about it.
I'm excited because I literally have not seen the price of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, 6, good.
Because I was hanging out with some people that were there at the start of your recording career. I was hanging out with the Pants Mandolin people this weekend. We had somebody getting married, so everybody was in town, and we all got together at Matt West's very big house and hung out together and had a good time and talked about the fact that you recorded on that album, and that was like one of the very first things you did. Yeah. It's one of the very first things I did was working with them. And so it's been a very busy weekend, and I have not played nearly enough games.
Yes, me neither. It has not been big gaming time. It has been busy time, so we'll catch up. But I'm glad you all know the price. I'm going to get you to guess on it here in a little bit when we get to that. So it should be fun. Before we do all that, got to thank the Patreon guys, because we waited until the very end of the show last time to do that. So I'm going to get it in here at the top. Thank you, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. We, of course, appreciate your support. Helping us to play games. I have played a little bit more of Bond since last we've talked, gotten through kind of next big mission, the first real big significant mission.
That far wrong, because I'm like right at the beginning of that. I literally just walked in the room and he's looking on the balcony, which by the way is a stunningly great shot.
It is, yeah. That they just, again, they nailed the like different definition of cinematic, as we've been talking about. It's just so cool. The transitions, the camera angles, the way that it weaves in and out, just all of it's great. It's just,
yep.
So, anyway, we thank you guys for giving us money so we can buy games and play games such as Bond and other things. And so, if you want to support us, you can do that gamingUncensored.com. You can do it gamingUncensored@gmail.com too if you want to send us money that way. But you can go to gamingUncensored.com, click that Become a Patron button near the top of the page. We will happily take your money.
Yes, we will, because we need more.
We do need more. Yes. It's always useful. So, before we dive into news and such, any other gaming talk we need to get in?
Well, I will tell you that I have been trying desperately to get through something every day, and I have not succeeded. You just showed me a fancy website that helps us to be coherent.
Yes.
And there are a lot of showcases, a lot of stuff still to watch. There's so much to get through. And I love that. I love that there's so much going on and so many people putting stuff out. I'm right in the middle of the Latin America showcase, which is really interesting. There's some really interesting games there. The women-led showcase is really, I think I told you that, nearly everything in there, I was like, wow!
Yeah.
There's some way he's going to make some serious money, because this is some good stuff. So, all of that to say, I'm really, really happy to be here. I'm really happy that we're going to get to talk about the Steam Machine today, because the reviews that I have seen have been super positive, which, with the price being what it is, I'm kind of surprised at.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah. There's lots to talk about. We will get into all of it here momentarily. The Steam Machine is great. We'll start there. Why not just jump in with that since we're chatting about it already? So Valve has given us price point for the Steam Machine. There are multiple versions of it. But the starting price, I guess the place to begin, is $1049. $1,000. $1,049. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, tell me it's not crazy. Like, we can talk about the rest of it. That's a crazy number.
Okay, it's a crazy number if you think of it. I'm taking this from the IG interview because they made a good point. It's a crazy number if you think of it as a console.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. If you think of it as a standard set-top box, and it's a console, and it's got games on it, and it's you know, all the things. If you think of it like a PS5, it's a crazy price. However, they made the point that it's not a console. It's more than a console. And the guy that did the review at IGN said, for some reason, there was a lady that did the review for the Steam Machine for IGN, but she wasn't the one doing the video. I would have loved to have heard from her. This guy said that she just went nuts. She was like, this is the coolest, like, little PC that I've ever seen in my life. And if you think of it as more than a console, it's fairly reasonably priced. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that if you and I had time to tinker, this is the ultimate, like, tinker machine, I think. And I, yeah, it's nuts. But the next Xbox is going to be that or more. I mean,
quite possibly, because they're going to put it in the same context of it as more than a gaming console.
Right, but here's my pushback on that. They're going to call it more than a gaming console. And IGN said this in the review of the Steam Machine. I've been saying it for months, and tell me if this has been your experience. Windows 11, for me, has been a dumpster fire. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. And if I were doing more than playing games on it, I would want to throw it out the window. Like I have a streaming computer at a church running on it, and it's just always doing weird stuff. It's just and that's not necessarily Windows 11. That's just Windows being Windows. That's why we like Mac, right? But like, I am waiting for the day where somebody at Valve says, okay, Steam OS is good to go. You can load it on whatever. I'm going to load that as soon as I get a chance, because my rig is a gaming rig, and I occasionally need Windows for something, but not that often, and I'll do Ubuntu or do whatever. Windows is driving me crazy. And the people at IGN seem to have felt the same way about the Steam Machine. Like, this is awesome. And so I think when you, just to wrap all this up, when you take that context, I don't know, man. Like, we're not going to buy one because we have PCs that are way better than that. However,
yeah,
if what the way that they put it, and I think they're right, if you've never had the ability to get into the PC space, and you've never had the, like, you've been afraid of like getting parts and trying to make sure everything works. Like, this is the ultimate starting point. And that doesn't dispute anything that you just said. You're 100% right. But,
well, I haven't said anything yet.
Well, I know you well enough to know what you're going to say.
And so here's my thing. The Windows 11, I haven't had many issues with Windows 11. I primarily use it for gaming, too. I use it at work. So in my work and streaming and everything else, I work on Windows machines. And it's, you know, I'd rather work in Mac. That's not the infrastructure that we have. And so I work on a PC. I had way more problems with a Windows 10 system before I updated. Okay. Windows 11 fixed a lot of things for me. And so I don't have that same complaint. But that aside, like, SteamOS is going to be for gaming. Right, like you saying, you don't have problems with Windows 11 because you game, but if you try to do anything else, like SteamOS isn't going to be built for other stuff for you to do. You know, like, I mean, it'll be able to do some stuff, but like SteamOS is for your gaming. Right?
That's not. I mean, like, you're gonna
stream at work off of SteamOS.
I'm not planning on it, but
right. But you see what I'm saying?
What I'm saying is that's the idea and argument is that it will do more stuff.
Sure. I'm sure it will. I don't dispute that. But you're not going to use it for that.
Yes.
SteamOS is a gaming operating system. Yeah. Maybe, you know, they figure out how to make it more than that and it becomes a thing or whatever. But right now, SteamOS is, just to put that out there, SteamOS is going to be, I was trying to find a date of when it's available, if it's already available. But you could get it and build your own PC and you can have your own Steam machine and you might be able to build something comparable for about the same price, a little less, a little more. There's a great article on The Verge that somebody like tried to spec out a machine that was similar. Of course, you can't build it exactly because there's some proprietary, you know, components to the Steam machine that you can't buy just off Amazon or whatever. But the price was comparable. So what you're getting in the box as far as the machine goes versus what you could build on your own, pretty comparable. The fact that it's small footprint, you know, like
very small. I didn't realize how small it was until, like, I saw it on video, and I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that because, you know, we've got great rigs. They're huge. You know, like, they take up lots of space. And for us, it's not a big deal. But for a lot of people, I can see how that's a big deal. I still, though, am really curious, and this is what we talked about before, so it doesn't really change anything because I think, I mean, at the end of the day, just knowing where component prices were, I think $1,000 is kind of what we thought this was going to look like.
I mean,
and what Project Helix is going to be is probably around the same place. Like, that's just where we are right now. And so you can't sell it as a console because it's way too expensive to be a console. You have to sell it as this multi-purpose machine. But it's a multi-purpose machine that's a gaming PC, which is, again, there's
and we need to be clear. Okay. First of all, I'm not as grumpy about these prices as I would be if Duff had not taken really good care of us for at least the next 10 years. Like, we don't have to worry about anything except an occasional graphics card upgrade. That's how well we've been taken care of. And so these prices don't bother me because I don't have to deal with it. Like, if we get one, it will be purely as a hobby machine. Like, it will be, you know.
But is it worth a hobby machine, $1,000?
I mean, probably not.
Because you could just install SteamOS on your machine. Well, like, there's nothing that gives you.
The thing, though, is installing SteamOS right now, and we need to say right now with all of this, right now, it's not that easy. Like, Duff and I were talking about it, and there's some hacks, and there's some things that you can do, but it doesn't work with an NVIDIA graphics card. At least the last time I looked, it's AMD, and so you really got to work to install it right now.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so when that changes, you're 100% right. We'll throw it on a hard drive and whatever.
Right.
But we're not there yet.
But so this all brings me back to like the core question we had when we started the discussion when they announced the Steam machine. And I think now having a price point just puts a button on that conversation. Who is this for? Right. Like, who is the market for? Like, I think they're going to probably sell a lot because there's a bunch of people who love Valve and will consume Valve stuff. And so they're like, people want to spend their money on this. And I think that's great. And I think it's great for Valve. Like, I'm trying to like thread this needle of saying, I don't think it's really worth it. And I think they're probably going to be successful because people will like it anyway.
Well, okay,
and I think those two things can coexist. And I'm just like, That tension there is weird. I believe that if you're going to spend this kind of money, like, you know, build yourself a rig that you can upgrade. But I also understand how that's not people's thing. Like, it's our thing. Yeah. We will do that in a heartbeat. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people
don't
have
that. We'll do that till we die.
Right. A lot of people don't have that drive. And so if that's you and you really just want something that you can take out of a box, you can plug in, you can play some games, but it's a little bit more sophisticated than a console is, has some different bells and whistles than a console does. I think this is great. If you could justify that price, awesome. It just, and it's, again, components are expensive right now. If this had launched 5 years ago, it'd be a lot cheaper, even relative to inflation and everything else. Just maybe not 5 years ago exactly because of COVID and everything else. But you get my point. Like, we are in a unique point in time right now where prices are ridiculously inflated, and that's across the board. Valve says they're selling it basically at cost, and I believe that. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'm really, like, again, kind of when you break it down, you go, it's really a pretty good deal. Like,
yeah,
once you get out of the box,
I mean, it's really not, the price is really not that out there.
But it is just because components are so inflated.
Let me align myself with you here because I want to make something very clear. I love Valve. Okay. I'm the biggest Valve fanboy that has ever existed. I'm not going to buy one of these. Yeah. If there's somebody out there that wants to send us one of these, absolutely, we'll hook it up and we'll play the crap out of it. Like, this would be perfect, especially in your case, for your living room.
For sure.
Where you hang out with your wife and do all the family things, that especially in your house, it would be perfect. But As much as I love Valve, I'm not going to buy one of these. And I'll tell you what I would buy. And I think I said this 6 months ago. You give me the equivalent of this machine that I have on the floor in a smaller form factor, then I might consider it. I don't know what that number is.
Yeah.
I know what we built this machine for, and it was reasonably priced when we built it. But if you give me that with NVIDIA graphics and all of the things that you and I are accustomed to, then we're talking. Then we can have a discussion because you can play whatever. You can play Death Stranding 2. You can play Cyberpunk, you can whatever, it doesn't matter, you just max it all out and go. Then you've got a machine.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're on the same page on that, you know, like, I think we're arguing the same points back and forth. I'm so curious to see how well it sells. I think that's the biggest thing, is I just want to see how well it does because I just don't know what the market is, but I think there probably is a market.
I'll say it right now because I'm amazed at the people who listen to this show. If you want to send us one, send us one. We'll talk about it for 6 months. Right. Send us one. Send us an email. We'll give you an address. We'll play it. Send it.
One more thing I'll mention here. So we mentioned that 1049 price tag is the starting price. Of course, there are higher scores.
Right.
And this is important because the 1049 machine has 512 gigs of internal storage. And in modern gaming, that is nothing. That just is so little.
But I will give them credit, and they mentioned this in the IG interview. I'd forgotten this was a thing, but they did put an SD card slot in there,
yes,
which helps.
So you can expand, which is a big
deal. You can expand, and here's something that I hadn't thought of. If you have your Steam Deck games on an SD card, all you do is got to slot them in. There's no install. There's no nothing. Yeah. It just goes.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's very cool. If you want it with a controller, so note that that comes sans controller. If you want it with a controller, that's going to be $1,128. If you want to step up to the 2 terabyte storage, which is now much more practical for modern gaming, the base price is $1,349 with the controller is $1,428. And so the 2 terabyte version with a controller runs you almost $1,500. And that just is...
It's a lot.
Just a lot.
I mean, that's a PC. That's a real PC.
And it is a for real PC. Like, it is. But it's a proprietary for real PC. And, you know, like, so, I'm curious when people get it and start digging into it and all that. Because, like, it's proprietary, but you can do a lot of stuff with it. Just playing with the Steam Deck, I've been able to do tons of fun stuff with it. You know, you can get into the operating system and do all kinds of fun stuff in there.
So let me ask you a question before we wrap this. What is the number that would make us run out? And I ask that question because you're the cheapest man I know. It's not even close. This man will find the cheapest deal on whatever he's doing, and he's not going to pay a dime. Oh, like, he's got a number in his head, and that's as far as he's going to go. Like, he has the discipline that I have never seen in another human. So what's the number? I've been trying to figure that out. Is it, if it had started at $800, I still don't think we'd be looking at this.
No.
I think it would have to be $450.
Right. Yeah. I don't think there's a price that, I mean,
because we
certainly
already have
a price.
What we have.
Exactly. There's certainly a price. If they said $10, I'm like, yes, give me one. You know, like, there's certainly a price. There's not a practical price point they could offer this for that would be appealing to me because I don't need it, right? Like, it's just not something that I see a benefit in personally because I have consoles. I have portables, one of which is a Steam Deck, which is great. And I have a gaming PC. This just doesn't fit anywhere practically into what I need gaming wise. And so for me personally, there's no price point that makes sense that would be any way relevant. And I think for a lot of gamers, that's probably true. But I think, like, I have a good friend that, you know, has played games for years, but has gotten out of the kind of PC gaming space. It was never really huge on that anyway, but has always played PC games. But he plays predominantly on a gaming laptop, which he probably spent about this much money for his gaming laptop. It is a big, clunky, you know, laptop because it's a gaming laptop and you have to have, you know, space and
power,
and cooling,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. Like, it just takes up, you know, like, it's not a real sleek little guy. I could see this being something practical for someone like him that wants to stay in the PC gaming space, that's not interested in spending $2,000 or $3,000 for a gaming PC, and really honestly doesn't have a whole lot of interest in building his own. Like, he might be the market.
I think you're right. What you just described, I think there's a ton of people out there like that.
That's what I don't know. Maybe there are. But I don't know that there are. But, like, again, also, Valve isn't making millions and millions of these things, right? Like,
right,
they're not looking to sell 50 million units. Yeah.
I mean,
and so it is a niche product, and it's probably, because it's Valve, going to be a very good user experience. It's going to be a good product. People are really going to like it, and that'll be great for Valve. They'll increase their install base, even though they're not making a lot of money off of this, but people will be buying stuff off of Steam to play on this and maybe expanding that out to some people who don't currently buy stuff on Steam. And, you know, like, they're going to make money off of this. It will be a good business decision, I think. I just really want to see sales numbers because I just have no clue how this thing is going to
there be. Are. I'm taking the story. It blows my mind. We have built our webmaster Evie, you and I, two PCs, right?
Yeah.
And she likes to play games, right? She's played games as long as you and I have, And I really thought that when we started building our PCs, that she would get on Steam and she would go crazy, because for you and me, it's easy. Like, it just works. She doesn't like it. And so, like, she would rather, if I'm going to buy a game for her, she would rather me buy it somewhere else than Steam, because you gotta log in and you gotta do all the things. And that's the way it is everywhere. I think she's just being picky. But if I gave her this, one of the things that they showed on the IG interview is that it's like a one-time, like, login. Like, you just take a picture of a QR code with your phone and you're good to go. I could see somebody like her plug it in, turn it on, set it up, and it's good to go. I never get her to do anything because she'd be playing Split Fiction for days on end. Like, it's those kind of people.
For sure. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And so maybe there's a place for it. So anyway, we've talked about that long enough for now. We'll get back to it, I'm sure. We still got more Steam gear whenever the Steam... What's their...
Frame.
You know, what? Frame, that's
Steam
right.
Frame.
Yes, Frame.
Yeah.
You just disappeared on me.
That's not great.
I still hear you. I'm getting your audio, so we're good. So.
That's not me. I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, we'll go. So while you are thinking, let me ask you really quick, because I wanted to see what you thought, since you didn't see this number yet. What do you think the final price is for Grand Theft Auto 6?
That's a really... I'm going to say $100.
Okay. That's a good guess. So they did announce two different versions. So the standard version, the premium version. There you are. The premium version is indeed $100.
Because the Ultimate Edition. I guess that because somebody said on the Discord they are pushing for the premium version. And that's how I got to that number.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's just what they are.
Yeah.
And I just learned something. Apparently this camera has a word that makes it go to sleep. I got to figure out what that word is. Because whatever it is,
you just said
it. I just said it. So we're going to have to figure that out before the next show.
That's amazing.
That's really funny.
Trying to think of what you just said right before it went off. We'll have to go back and see.
So, yeah, because everything looks good on the software, so that's funny.
Yep.
The
standard version of Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to be $80, which is more than most games cost. Is not all the way to $100 just to get the game. And the Ultimate Edition has, you know, all the stuff, like extra premium vehicles, different weapons, some access to a single-player store that there's been some consternation about. I don't really care. The difference between, like, let's just compare, like, a standard video game and set the premium or ultimate edition aside for the moment. The difference between a $70 game and an $80 game for Grand Theft Auto is not insignificant. It doesn't seem like a massive deal to me. I'm curious to see if the everybody else goes, okay, floodgates are open. Just every AAA game at this point is going to be $80 going forward. That Grand Theft Auto officially sets that standard. I don't know if that'll be true or not. We've been seeing more creative pricing on games of some like $50, $40, $50 games here and there. And so not everything being that. But Grand Theft Auto being what it is, being the cost that they put into it, knowing how it's going to sell or whatever, $80 is not what I would love, but also isn't a barrier to entry for me.
It's not. If somebody said to me, Grand Theft Auto 6 is $100. I love Grand Theft Auto. I'm not paying that. And I'm not expecting the show to pay for that.
Yeah.
$100 is too much.
This is, yeah. I don't know what that $20 makes a difference, but like just going to triple digits does make a difference. Like in my head, it's significant. I like at $80, I go, I know Rockstar. I know Grand Theft Auto. That's worth it to take a shot at this game.
Unless it sucks.
And exactly. I'm not going to pre-order. I'm not going to buy it, you know, the moment it comes out. But there will be enough reviews that exist before it's time to purchase this game that I'll have a pretty good sense of whether or not, like, I'm just, you know, like, not. And almost certainly we will pay it. Like, it's Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
There's almost no question unless it's just a total crash and burn.
It's one of those things that we will pay what they ask us to pay until they prove to us that it's not worth it to pay exactly them what they ask us to pay.
Yeah.
And I think there is a real significant chance, not with Grand Theft Auto 6, but I think that there is a real significant chance that at some point that's going to happen to Rockstar, because it happened to other people like BioWare.
Yeah.
BioWare used to be untouchable. Yeah. Blizzard used to be untouchable.
Or
now
even
they're not.
Project Red. One of the head guys, I saw this somewhere, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell exactly who it was, but one of the head guys at CD Projekt Red essentially said, we've got to re-earn trust with The Witcher 4 that we broke with Cyberpunk launch, and I'm not sure we can. Like, he was very candid in saying, like, we know what we're up against, and I'm not sure that we have that capability of something that was self-inflicted. Like, yeah, absolutely. Rockstar has been, but the thing is with Rockstar, like, what else did they do at this point? You know,
nothing.
Like, right. And so if Grand Theft Auto 6 is good, they coast for the next 15 years until they put out Grand Theft Auto 7. You know, like,
so
what else is there to do?
Here's the thing about, and here's why I love CD Projekt Red more and more every day. For them to come out and say that,
yeah,
you know, 10 years later, like, yeah, we sucked and we're still trying to make up for it. Cyberpunk at this point is one of the greatest games I have ever played in my life, period, end, no discussion. Yeah. And I feel about Cyberpunk the way that most people probably feel about Grand Theft Auto 6. I will play whatever they put out next, because when Cyberpunk came out, it was a complete and total dumpster fire. And they have pulled it out.
Yeah.
And now it's one of the greatest games ever made.
Yeah.
And so when they put out The Witcher 4 or Cyberpunk 2 or whatever it is, I'm not even going to blink.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you 100%. CD Projekt Red doesn't have to earn my trust back. Like, they've done that because they put in that work and they've been really, really good to their consumers with a really, really quality title that was very, very broken when it launched. But again, that they've done that work to it. So Rockstar hasn't had to do that rebuilding work yet. We'll see with this. We'll see. We won't get into it more right now because there's more of it to come. But it's exciting that we actually have a price point and
yes,
we have a pre-order window, which at least says we're getting closer to release, even if they still have to push it back a little bit. But we'll see. It's such long development and everything else. Really quick, one more story I want to get to, because we do got to get to PC Game Show and we do have to get off here in a little bit. But I do want to mention an update from Xbox, because we've been talking so much about Xbox and this reset. We're starting to see some of the first things that may come from this reset that are going to be those hard conversations in terms of studio closures or sell-offs. And there are three studios that reportedly Microsoft is looking to either dump or sell off. And they're, like, significant. Compulsion, which is the developer behind South of Midnight, which we've been talking about recently, and We Happy Few. Double Fine, so Tim Schafer. And then Ninja Theory. What's crazy about Ninja Theory in particular is that they debuted that Sinua game at their showcase, knowing that Ninja Theory was potentially on the chopping block. Reportedly, they did that, went ahead and showcased that game as a way to help Ninja Theory, like, find suitors. Somebody
find
that
a buyer,
will come
yeah,
and buy out the studio so they can continue working. But it is crazy in my head that they showed off a game that will have some hype. Like the Hellblade games, I don't think have as much hype as they did, but people still like those games. And if you're a fan of that franchise, I'm sure you were pretty hyped. To then news come out 2 days later, whatever it was, that the studio could be just closed. Like if they don't find a buyer, they're looking to just close it. And that game that they just announced will likely just die. And that is wild. So I hope all three of these studios find buyers and continue to work, because I like all three of them quite a bit. Like yeah. they're making some of my favorite Hellblade aside, but Ninja Theory is that other cool stuff too. But Hellblade's fine. Like I've played a little bit of Hellblade. It's cool. It's one I wish I had more time for. But I love Double Fine games, as weird as they are, and I've really enjoyed South of Midnight, and I love the voice behind that. And it just, like, it's those kind of games that I hold up as what's good with the gaming industry, right? And so it's really brutal to see those developers as the ones that are kind of on the precipice here, and the developers that work there, you know, having to go and try to find jobs, and those voices maybe not being as prominent as they are currently under the Microsoft umbrella.
I'm going to say something that may be slightly controversial, because this has been happening across the industry for a while. So this is not new, and this is not, you know, isolated to Microsoft, but Microsoft's going to have to be careful. Like they're already trying to dig themselves out of a hole with Xbox, and they mean it. What I'm about to say, I will say they may not care, but like, you have to, we talked about public trust with two games earlier. If you're going to continue to sell yourself as a games provider, and I'm being careful about that wording because they may want out of hardware, so let's call them a games provider.
Yeah.
At some point, I know myself personally, I'm going to look at Xbox and go, if they screw too many people over and too many of the games that I want to see become vaporware, I'm just going to go, I don't have time for this. And that goes back to wanting to have SteamOS where it's functional, where I can just load it on my rig, because I would like to not have to go to Microsoft to play video games. Sure. Like I would much rather, like, gosh, I sound like such a fanboy, but I trust Gabe more than I trust anybody at Xbox. Like, I do. And I know Gabe is out of, like, Gabe's on a yacht somewhere, right? Like, Gabe's not there every day. But I trust Valve more than I trust anybody at Xbox right now.
Yeah.
And I'm a fanboy. I get it. Valve's not perfect, but
it's also apples and oranges in a lot of ways too. Like, it's not a perfectly fair comparison because they kind of do just different things, right?
Right.
Steam isn't Game Pass. Game Pass isn't Steam. Microsoft went through this process of purchasing all of these publishers and developers. That's not something that Valve does. You know, like, they're very different in kind of their business strategies, and so. But I mean, there is something to that. Microsoft has Xbox. They keep wanting to go away from the Microsoft name. I have a harder time dropping that, but it's all under that umbrella. Xbox has issues with consumer sentiment that they are trying to fix, but they're also trying to figure out profitability, and that's a tricky thing to do, right? To find where you can cut things that will not piss off your consumer base so much that you have to continue cutting things because you continue to lose revenue because people go elsewhere. And Double Fine, as much as we love them, isn't making a ton of money for
Microsoft. No, they don't.
Like, they make weird, quirky games. They're making a pottery game for, like, crying out loud. It is weird.
But see,
weird.
But see, that's the thing, is that Tim should... Okay, I'm going to use Tim as an example. Tim has made a living off of being weird.
Yes.
Like, Double Fine exists because they are weird. And so... Double Fine is the one, and I'm underselling Ninja Theory, and I understand that. But Double Fine is, if Microsoft lets them go, which I think they probably will, Double Fine's going to go, okay, we'll find some other place to play, because, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And whatever. And that's kind of one of those... That kind of makes my point. Like, those guys especially, I don't think you would mess with them too much, because I think Tim Schafer could probably get kind of loud if he wanted to. And I don't know how good that is for Xbox.
Yeah, and that's that definitely is a factor here, specifically for Double Fine, is that, like, there is a person with a lot of industry clout and a lot of public popularity, notoriety. Yeah. I don't know how you want to say that.
He's got some goodwill banked.
Yes, and yes, exactly. And so you could do a lot of damage there with. Compulsion, I don't know. I couldn't tell you somebody who is from Compulsion, even though I like their work. You know, like, it's a little bit of a different thing. But nonetheless, it's just crazy. Like, it's just that those are the studios that are being baited about. But I'm sure they cost a lot of money. Like, again, yes. Like, there's some prestige, even if they're not making a lot of money. And so, yeah. We'll talk more about that once some more of that comes to fruition, once we kind of see what's happening with these, because it's still kind of murky at this point. We do need to talk about PC Gaming Show. We'll talk about the show itself, the presentation, just a little bit, and a handful of games that we picked out. What did you think of the full house presentation of the PC Gaming Show?
Okay. I'm going to say this one more time, because I feel like I say it every year. Do we have to do this?
Dude, yeah.
Like, Day 9, Buddy, Frankie, I love you people, okay? I love you people. Just go into a studio and talk about games. Do we have to do the whole thing? Like, just go into a studio and talk about games. That's it. Skip the rest of it.
I don't completely disagree, but I have come to kind of look forward to what ridiculous over the top thing that the PC Gaming Show is going to do.
Let me say this. They're doing what they're doing because they want to. I don't think they're doing it because they have to.
Of course.
And if they're doing it because they want to, then great. We're doing this because we want to.
Right.
Like this. This is not by any stretch a top 10 gaming podcast anywhere on any platform for any reason. Like, if that's why they're doing it, then great. If they're doing it because they feel like people enjoy it, not so sure about that. But
yes.
But yeah. And again, we're in the same boat. Like, I've been putting this show out on social media. I'm not sure that we have any new listeners. As hard as I'm trying to get the show out, I'm not sure that we do. So,
yeah. Compare it to something like the Future Game Show, which we'll talk about at some point. The Future Game Show is great.
Yes.
And it does a lot more the other way of, like, it brings in a couple of people. You know, so Troy Baker or whoever it is. Troy Baker is one of them this year. You know, like, okay, that's a voice I recognize, a face that I recognize. And they talk about games, and they have their little, like, cringy banter back and forth throughout it. But it's, you know, mostly it's not set design and prop pieces and, like, a running theme of whatever and everything else, like this was with the 80s, 90s sitcom Full House kind of thing, which, again, was nostalgic, and I found parts of it humorous and other parts were just terribly, terribly cringy. But I at least they do something, you know. The PC gaming show is always good content. And so with that, games that we saw at the PC gaming show, I feel like, I don't know, I was more underwhelmed with games in the PC game show this year than I have been in the past. And I don't know if that's just because there's now so many different showcases that people are kind of leading into other showcases to show their world premieres or whatever it is of thinking they can get their niche a little bit better.
Let's take one that I would have been really impressed with if I had not seen it somewhere else, and that's War Dogs.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you where I saw it before I saw it on the PC gaming show. I think it might have been in the future game show. But I saw it before I got here. And when I first saw it, I was like, that's really cool. And then I saw it again, and I was like, yeah, I've already seen this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there is some of that.
For sure. And so trying to figure out how to navigate that with, you know, again, the growing kind of thing that is Summer Game Fest, not the event, but the time of early to mid-June of all these game announcements. But there were still some really, really cool games. So we'll run through just a couple that stood out to us. I'll start with Maximum Thunderness.
Yeah. Which is
a great name. It's supposed to come out sometime this year. It is what they call it, a roguelike side-scrolling co-op action game.
And I picked it specifically for you because when I saw it, I thought, that is 13-year-old Tommy.
Yes.
Like, yeah. that's you would have been all over this in about 1996.
Yes, but with the potential, and we got to see how exactly they execute the roguelike thing, but I love a roguelike. Like, if that's cool with the side-scrolling kind of beat-em-up chaos, like, could be really fun. I don't know, but it gets into that kind of bullet hell kind of feel at times and, like, just chaos.
It also
those kind of games.
It also sort of feels like Battletoads. That's what
that's kind of the art style. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very Battletoads kind of thing. I will mention Star Trek Outposts.
Oh, that one's interesting. Yep.
It's like Star Trek City Builder.
Yep.
And we are nerds, and I enjoy Star Trek.
Yes.
So the idea of it's the same thing with the Lord of the Rings city builder, the Hobbit, whatever game. I can't remember what it's called, but like that one also looks super cool, and it kind of appeals to me in the same way, and that it's a world that I know and understand at least somewhat, but from a different kind of perspective of playing a game in that world, of not having, you know, space combat or an action game or something like that, but having something that feels different, but has the Star Trek aesthetic, which I've always really liked, even in some ways more than I actually like the narrative of the Star Trek world.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Like, I've always
loved the aesthetic.
The Star Trek is about the technology. It's about the ships, yes, and it's about the tricorders, and it's about the communicators, and the,
yes,
like the stories have always been a little campy and like, yes,
is part of the charm, yeah, but not the reason, yeah, that I come to it. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. Hack 95. This one is, I really, really dig this one. So it is sold as a card-based computer hacking voyage.
Voyage.
But it's like, yeah, I like how they call it a voyage. But it's essentially like computers when we got into computers. Like it's like going back in time to where we started with Windows, and you play the role of like a hacker that I believe, like, you start out by like changing the grades of like your friends at school, and then you get like pulled into this big government conspiracy. But it's all like the interface is all like just like a old school
Windows 3.1 basically,
yeah,
kind of
like that vibe. Like it shows the video with like this super highly pixelated low res, like again, what we grew up with, how the internet and computers looked.
We don't have to, but I'm just gonna bring this up because I have a 20-year-old in my house in the next room, and I'm trying to explain to him about what we grew up with and about how things were. And you can't, like, there's no way to adequately explain. Like, I have this theory that all of the computers and stuff that we have now, all the chips and all that is all like alien tech. and I do all of that. It irritates him. I do all of that because to go from where we started when we were kids to this, I don't think it's humanly possible.
Right.
Like I look at the rig that is on my floor and go, I don't know who came up with that tech, but it wasn't a human.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my theory with that, because if you're under 30 and you weren't there,
yeah,
it's vastly different than it was when we started. Like,
it is wild. And like, one of the reasons this game appeals to me is because I kind of miss that, like, to use this word again, that DOS aesthetic. Like, yeah, like I was learning DOS when I was like 8, you know, or whatever it was. Like, and like, you know, like whenever I have to open like a command terminal for something or whatever, you know,
you get excited.
Like, there's a little part of me that's like, oh, you're familiar. Like, I miss you, you know, kind of thing. And I spent like 2 minutes with them, like, man, this is annoying. This is so freaking ridiculous to have to type stuff in and navigate this way and everything else.
Funny story. I've been using Quad a lot, right? And I built an app, which by the way, I need your opinion on that. I need to know if that thing even works on your Mac.
Yeah.
But I built an app, and to do that kind of stuff, you have to open the terminal. And like every time, Claude's like, you gotta open the terminal and compile this. Yeah. Like, I get excited. Yeah. Like, it's fun.
Yes.
And so yeah.
Yes, it is. It is. And so something like that is appealing. On a completely different note, Wardens of Avalon, action RPG that's set in like a fallen Camelot. Which is a cool concept. We've talked about this a little bit on the show before. I think I used to love like this kind of world, medieval stuff, and like King Arthur and castles and,
right,
and chivalry and all this. Like, that used to be like a thing when I was younger.
You played Kingdom Come, which I haven't, but yes, I think that's why you did, because
sure. Like, there's something that still appeals to me about that, even though that's not as much of my interest at this point in my life. And this is kind of that when I'm watching this, of like, oh yeah, that kind of is that same thing, but with, again, kind of Diablo-ish, it looks like, combat gameplay, that isometric view and navigating the world. But there's also like building components to this, and I don't know. It could be just another kind of whatever game, but like, if it executes, like, it could be very, very cool.
It could be extremely cool, I think. But again, you said the key word. It's like, it could also really suck. Yeah. So you got to execute.
Yeah, for sure. There are no ghosts at the Grand. We've seen this one before. This isn't new, but they showed it again and had a much longer kind of tease trailer with it. There's also a demo available, which I desperately need to go play. So this is, you inherit this hotel that doesn't have ghosts, at least according to the title, but figuring out, you know, what's going on in this kind of mystery around this this hotel that's falling apart. But like, there's like this restoration process. I don't know if it's like time shifting stuff or whatever. You're seeing it in its former glory, or you're updating, or whatever it is. But
I think it's probably like a Power Wars simulator.
It has
kind
some of that, because there
like,
is like definitely a restoring. Like, there's paint guns and like moving furniture around and that kind of stuff. But it's also like kind of got this haunted thing, and I don't know how much it leans into the horror kind of side. I don't think it's going to be a horror game by any means, but like, has this also like kind of mystery thing that's not just that, like, you're searching around for clues about like what's haunting this place. And like, it's a weird like combination of game mechanics.
It has that. Okay, so we've talked about this on the previous show about all the like cult games, all the like weirdness kind of stuff. It's the same kind of a thing, like you're walking around this town and it's like you're gonna eventually find out that there's like child sacrifice going on or some weirdness.
It's gonna get real dark.
Yeah.
We'll see. But it's compelling. The art style is really cool. Like it's maybe the thing I'm most interested from this show, honestly. And again, we saw it before, and so it's not new. But we saw the new aspects of it for sure. We saw the old guy singing, which was fun. And so yeah, it's got this kind of musical aspect to it which I dig. And so lots of fun stuff there. Happy Bastards. This seems like a fun one. It's an open world tactical RPG with. Not my favorite art style. It's that kind of cartoony Sunday morning, but like trying to be like kind of edgy. I don't know how to describe it exactly.
Like a Beavis and a Butthead.
Or Rick and Morty in like more modern terms, even though have you ever watched Rick and Morty?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I'm like you. It wasn't really my
thing. I know so many people that are so into it, and I just haven't been able to do it.
Okay, I think in some ways there's something wrong with us, because if Rick and Morty had been out when we were like 13, we would have eaten it alive
for sure.
And so now it's like I see something like that and I'm like, I'm 47. I can't watch that. Like, it's probably great, but I'm 40. I can't watch that.
I'm with you. Not my thing. And then again, that's the art style here. It's kind of the same thing. Very different art style of an intriguing game. Two fights in two tight spaces, which is a weird name.
Okay, so there's another one of these. This is like the second one of these that I think is interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to talk about this one before we got started on it, is apparently this is a sequel, I think. And there were several of these in the PC gaming show that like so-and-so two, and I'm like, where's one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a fights in tight spaces, the original here. So this is two fights in two tight spaces, the sequel. It is, I don't know how to describe the art style without seeing it, because go look it up, obviously. You can find it easy enough, but kind of
nice. Mad Men-ish.
Yeah, like silhouette-y, like colors, and like you don't get details on the character models, and it's kind of real simple color palettes, but that are very cool. Like the screenshot I'm looking at right now is like orange and black and white, and that's about all the colors you get in it, but with depth and interest. And it's like tactical beat-em-up, and so moving around these little spaces, so like inside at like cafe or a restaurant or something like that, and fighting a bunch of mobs, but doing it in a like positional tactical, like you go behind them, you go beside them, you take your turn kind of thing is what it looks like, at least. There's one clip in the trailer where he like dunks the guy's head in a deep fryer, and you're like, oh, okay, this is for real. That's some serious stuff right there. Get it. It's very the art style is very abstract, and so you don't like see like gore or anything from it, but it's still very visceral, like that you get that impact of going, oh wow, that would suck, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And so the style is cool. It looks very interesting. If the fighting is it's in early access right now, and so if you want to check it out, you could. I'm just curious. I'm gonna look really quick. Reviews on the first one are mostly positive, so for what that's worth, if they can kind of step it up from there. But interesting, weird style. But
yeah,
they showed off the Thief remaster, which, as people who played Thief back in the day, specifically, I was curious what your thoughts on this are.
I'm just like you. I played Thief, but I'm not the guy that like loved it.
Yeah,
like it wasn't like the coolest thing that I'd ever seen, which I don't really understand because of my love for Splinter Cell and all the like.
Yes,
I don't really like Thief didn't catch me like that.
Yes.
And so when I saw this, it was kind of like, it's cool, but I'm probably not gonna like, and I don't really understand why. Do you?
No, I'm kind of right there with you. I really enjoyed Thief when it first came out because it was pretty novel at the time. But what I appreciate more is all of the games that Thief inspired and all the ways that we've seen those mechanics get woven into other games and have their own.
I mean, it's in Bond.
Thing. Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, so many of the gameplay mechanics that we utilize today around stealth and tactical games like that came from Thief, like of being the game that really established that as like, you don't have to go through and kill everybody. You don't have to go through and run and gun. Like, in fact, you're going to be punished if you do that. The game is going to be significantly harder and at times impossible. All that said, it was a game I enjoyed way back in the day. I don't have a strong need to replay. Like, I don't have fond memories of like the narrative or the experience as much as I do the gameplay, and I can get the gameplay honestly, in better ways than other games today.
I'm gonna tell you what I thought when I saw it. I thought, that's really cool. I need to go play Dishonored.
Exactly. Right. Yes, that's that's what. Like, let me go find a game that uses these mechanics, but also more mechanics that are more fun. Because the Thief kind of thing, like, it's kind of one note at this point.
Right.
So, again, if you love the game originally, because it was a big deal originally, like,
huge.
I totally get why you'd want to play it again, but just not my thing. Ascenders Beyond the Peak, this one most certainly is my thing.
It's all you, and that's why I'm putting it in there.
Yes,
I'm like,
it
yeah!
is climbing a mountain in a turn-based tactical format, and it's a roguelite. I don't know that you can make a game more for me than this thing is. I am very, very excited about this. It has a kind of Lovecraftian vibe look to it. So it has this kind of dark kind of horror thing. I don't know. Looks really cool. Supposed to come out later this year or at least in early access later this year. But there is a demo, as a lot of these, because it's also Steam Next Fest right now. So you can go play demos of all kinds of things.
I think this is what you were hoping. I'm not going to speak for me because I didn't know what I thought. But I think this is what we were hoping Karen was.
Yes.
Karen
is a very different kind of approach to the same kind of mountain climbing thing, is in that it's a more kind of realistic take on it, where this is going to be much more like, you know, with the kind of horror elements and this mythical world, this fantasy kind of world thing. But still, it's the kind of scratching the same itch insofar as...
It's like Wasteland on a mountain.
There you go.
Like, yes. That's what it is. It's Wasteland on a mountain or Fallout. Fallout 1 and 2. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. Pipes.exe, yeah. Just because we're going into, like, old school PC world here. It is a game based off of the Pipes screensaver, of all things.
Yep.
But it's a first-person co-op horror experience based off of the Pipes screensaver. Apparently, there's some, like, you're, like, working at quality assurance for, like, the screensaver company, and then like the screensaver's haunted or something.
Can we?
It's ridiculous, but I love it.
Can we talk about horror for a minute?
Yes.
I think this is an age thing, because I'm getting tired of the horror games. Like, I think this is cool, but they're everywhere.
Yes.
And it's not that I don't like horror. If you give me a new Dead Space, or if you came here for a week and we decided to play the Dead Space remake, we would be all over it.
Yes.
But as I get older, I'm getting pickier and pickier and pickier about the horror games that I want to play. I don't understand it. Can you explain? Because I look like, that's cool, and I'll look at it because it's odd.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm in kind of same space. I've never been as big on the horror franchise era element of things. I I loved Resident Evil when I was young.
Yeah.
We talked about that a lot. But I didn't like Silent Hill was okay.
One and two were great. I love
they started off
two.
Strong.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. But it's not something I felt a need to kind of keep up with. And then when we got to the point where like horror games just kind of were everywhere, like it really is. I need you to have something that is not just like. I need it to have something that's different. This game, you know, maybe has something that's different. But I need it more to be more than just a like creepy jump scare.
I'm gonna say something that's gonna make you laugh because there's a game in this showcase, the Friday the 13th game. For some reason, that looks really interesting. Or not Friday Halloween. Mike Myers.
Halloween.
The name of that movie?
Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween, yeah.
I missed that one.
That looks interesting.
I did see that.
It's in there.
Yeah.
I would love to... The more I see of that, I'm really interested in that.
There is something to that. I agree on that one. And what was the one that is very Friday the 13th coded, but it was in the
Microsoft
showcase.
Yeah,
I forget the name of that Friday. It's the second game in that franchise, and I'm just blanking on what the name is of it. But those are fun because they're like nostalgic too, because we grew up with those horror movies. And
yeah,
so there is something that's cool about that. We know Mike Myers, and even though like the again whatever the game is, it's going to drive me crazy. I'll get it here in a little bit. But whatever that franchise is, like it's not Jason, but it is like feels like those kind of horror movies that we grew up with, and so there's something about that that's kind of fun.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, most of it though. Just doesn't do it for me, and I get where a lot of people are into that genre, and so there's a ton of them. But just you will have noticed we did not talk about a lot of those, and there were a lot of those in the PC game show.
Yeah.
But this is our thing, and so we kind of skipped over those. One last one I'll mention, Into the Wind, is just because we're a sucker for a good delivery game. I don't know why, but we're a sucker for a good delivery game. It has a very cool art style. You drive / fly a motorcycle plane that apparently is alive and can talk to you and whatever. And so that's interesting. And deliver stuff. And it's, I don't know if it's going to be like a super cozy, like apparently there's a mystery.
I was about to say, I miss Lake so much. Can we
that's
get some
what,
more
you
Lake?
Know, like we're just looking for that. This has that kind of vibe to it, but like way more over the top. Like Lake was very grounded as a game, wasn't, you know, in any way like supernatural, mythical. This is, you know, all that stuff, but has kind of a cool art style to it. This 3D world, I dig it. I think it could be cool. And so we'll see. It's coming to early access soon. I just don't care about early access.
No, here's the thing. We would play all of this stuff if this was all we were doing.
Yeah.
And somebody was like handing us keys going, here, try this. Like that's what it would take. Like, I just don't care. Like, okay, let me rephrase that. If somebody came to me and said, we've got this early access game and I want you to look at it for accessibility, and I want Tommy to look at it for sound design, we would be we would be ecstatic and we'd play the crap out of it. But like, otherwise, I don't want to play your early access game.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am. I want to play your game when it's ready, unless you are like paying me for quality assurance. You know, like I just view like playing an early access game as like giving free labor, you know, and like I love that these companies can do that for people who want to do that. Like it is, you know, everybody is opting into this this situation, so it's not exploitative in that way. But to me, that's why I feel like you're like, oh, you're asking me to play this game so I can help you make it better when you actually sell it for full price,
and then you're gonna charge me for it.
Exactly. And that's, you know, whatever. So anyway, There were tons of games we did not cover from the PC Game Show. So if we missed your favorites, let us know. GamingUncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210, which I believe is still functional. I need to call it.
Sure hope so.
And make sure.
Make sure. Nobody's called for a little while. So call it. Make sure our voicemail still works. excuse me. But if we didn't talk about something you want us to talk about, let us know. We'll absolutely circle back around.
And you absolutely, especially right now, if you're not on the Discord, you need to get over to the Discord because there's lots of conversation going on. You actually piped up. People think that we're not paying attention, but we are. We're watching everything, and we just don't say a lot because that's the community space. But we pay attention to everything, and I just. The software aside, I love the idea of Discord so much. Like, it's been so awesome as like a community builder. I hate the software with a passion, but as far as the community goes, we love our Discord community. If you're not over there, please get over there. If you need an invite link, let us know. Send us a however we need to help you. There's so many guys that I know that are listening to this show that are from the old days that just refuse to, like, go over to Discord. And I understand, because I was that guy. Spider-wise, I'm talking to you. It's a great community. It allows us to talk to you guys. We love it so much. So if you're not on Discord, please go over there.
For sure. It's a great place. And we will be back soon to talk about PC Game Show, Cozy Games, Black Voices, Latin Voices, yeah. India Game Show. Like, there's just so much. There's just
so
tons
much.
And tons and tons. Women in Games, like, again, it just goes on and on. And
ooh,
so.
Ooh. Okay. Have you seen Women in Games yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. You know who's hosting it?
Huh.
The voice of Aerith.
Nice.
I can't remember her name right
now.
Yeah,
but I can picture her. I know who you're talking
about. But she was awesome.
Good. She did Future Game Show last year, year before, maybe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Anyway, yes, she's great. That's wonderful.
I was not going to forget her name. I for the life of me, I cannot remember her name right this second. Yeah. We're old. I will put that
the strange rebel, Brianna White.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Brianna White.
Her,
that's
as
it.
A streamer, she's the strange rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yes.
She's awesome, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. So if you haven't gotten around to watching that's a really good showcase.
It's on the list.
So
we will get to them. So anyway, that's what you got to look forward to soonish, whenever we get back to this, which will be soonish.
I'm going to the country for the weekend, which means I'm going to have a lot of time to watch these showcases that I haven't gotten to. And so, as he said, we've got a ton of content still coming. I have no idea how many episodes that we're going to have out of this, but I know that there's going to be enough that I'm having Quad create a skill for pumping out the social media stuff, because we really are trying to get better.
Yeah.
It's we're going to be here for a while, so we hope you enjoy it. If you don't, you're more than welcome to tell us we suck on the voicemail line or the email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Other than that, go to the website, gaminguncensored.com. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's an extravaganza, and it's only on gaminguncensored.com. And we are out.
Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.